pleased to see so many of you here, even though some of you were unannounced. We are supplying chairs momentarily. My wife has got her Pony Express wagon out there in the streets, rounding up chairs, from going by, knocking on doors and saying, we have a bunch of degenerates over there who need to sit down. Would you please contribute? She just told me she had enough. We're delighted to have some people here who brought me news of good tidings from Del Mar. A gentleman back there, only 60%, but with a 1080 mutual. I'd rather have a 1080 mutual at 60% than a 580 at 80% any day of the week. Congratulations. One of our trainers, Jim Flaherty, who we haven't seen for a long time, is back with us today, standing up even though he has a bad back, and he'll have a chair momentarily. Jim, welcome. Haven't seen you before at one of these. You'll have a chair momentarily, too. The essence of this is a working session beginning with the opening of the racing form, or in this case, the opening of this booklet, which Dick Schmidt will pass among you. When you get it, note that at page 16, you're asked to stop reading. It says, please do not read further until instructed. Just like going to school. The following pages contain the answers and results to the problems posed by the lesson in this series. This is, when we do our College of Handicapping Arts and Science, this will be lesson number 5. Lesson number 1 will be reading the conditions. Actually, the lesson number 1 will be an overview to the entire methodology and to the entire concept of the dynamics of incremental velocity. Number 2, which will be have as a guest instructor James Quinn, will be reading of the conditions of the race and applying the conditions plus other class delineation factors to the narrowing of the race to 5 contenders. Jim will be our guest instructor next month on the 27th and 28th of September. Tom Brohammer has brought him in at great expense. Tom Brohammer is not feeling as well this morning as he might. We had an author's party for him last night, and he turned out to be one of those Fitzgerald type of authors, and his wife turned out to be a Zelda. They just went crazy on the booze. Must have had at least 4 drinks. But he got up and finished 3rd this morning, so everything's going to be all right. The essence of what we'll do today is to go over the races. Now, don't peek. Now be on page 16. Go over these races, and from the very, very first thing you would do, you will then, under Tom's and mine and Dick's supervision, handicap each one of these 5 races. We want to take into consideration the fact that it is a group process, and that takes longer than with an individual process. We want to see, though, how fast a group can use that group magnetism and group process to reach common conclusions, even if they're commonly inaccurate. We then also want to see any objections you have, voice them. We've got 9 hours to do 5 races, in essence, 8 hours. Voice any question you have, any discrepancy you might feel with what are the conclusion of the speakers might be, voice it. But on the other hand, when you can see the logic of the proper procedure, ask yourself how much you are fighting it. Don't hide that, say, don't go along just because the group does. Because maybe your fighting of some of these logical conclusions might be the stumbling block that you're facing. So let it all come out, and by the group process, it'll be therapeutic. By the group process, maybe some of the logic-type compartments you may have, some of the stumbling blocks, will then disappear. Each one of these races, I don't know why this happens, but every time anybody who's supposed to be an expert does races for you, they always seem to win them. You ever notice that? We won them. Actually, we'd put in races. Tom's doing a whole book on the race he lost once.
That's cool.
It runs 8.6 pages. It'll take you 1 month to write at his current rate. Yeah, he did. He lost. No, actually, he lost two races once. And he'll put them both in. Tom is very happy to announce that he, per page, is the highest paid author in the history of the English language writing. Per minute, he's definitely the highest paid. My wife Mary is here. Hello, Mary. All right, let's hear from Mary.
If I'm not jumping ahead, I've got a Commodore 128, and I'm having a different time narrowing the field down to five horses, two-thirds of the time.
Marvelous. Today we'll narrow it to five. That's one of the main purposes for today, and that'll be the sole purpose of our next one with Jim Quinn. But today should help you get it down to five. We have difficulty getting it up to five. Would that... The reason we always want to get it up to five is we want to find the place horse as well. I think after today's exercise, you'll find, perhaps, but that you'll have it down. But if you don't, by all means, send us some of these races that you've had problems with narrowing it down to five, and let us share with you the benefit of our own logic on the subject. Just send them in a racing form and say, I had a deuce of a time getting this one down to five. And let us know, you know, how it came out and everything.
System along with the first fraction, second fraction rankings.
The CompuGraph.
Uh-huh. I don't know how to
fix
that.
On the Commodore that you have, program you have, which is being replaced by a Commodore CompuGraph with a Brohammer model, the low score is best. Low is best, but when you are asked on the Commodore to enter with your pace summary, who was first in early, late, and you should note that to yourself to see how well it fits your model. To facilitate that, we are changing that pace rating to a Brohammer model rating. It's ready now for Commodore people. And anybody who wants it, we'll only charge you for the price of a disc in the mailing. It's like $2, you know, just what it costs us just to replace it with that. And that'll give you a precise Brohammer model on your Commodore readout. And in fact, wait a little bit, because he is menuing the Commodore Phase 3. So you have a menu of a Power Generator Plus, which you haven't seen yet, Pace, Horse Demo, and Advanced Horse with a Brohammer model. Any more questions on that one?
The score, the rankings, 2.33.
You take the position calls, the rankings, and divide them by the number of rankings. In other words, if he's 7, 3, and 1, well, he wouldn't be 7, 3. Say he's 5, 3, and 1. That's 9 divided by 3. He'd have a 3 ranking. He'd come out with a 3 rating. It's his ranks in the 3 positions, the 3 entities, divided by the number of entities, which is 3. And low is best. Let's just go over this first part of this. There's 5 races here. On page 2, you'll see route at the bottom, you'll say route model and sprint model, with blank next to it. Tom, when he takes over to supervise this, will give you a generic ballpark Brohammer model for routes and sprints of the days covered by this. And you can fill it in there if you've got a pencil, so you'll know as a back reference what you're going. The races cover are the 9th of Del Mar on August the 13th, the 1st of Del Mar on the 16th, 2nd of Del Mar on the 16th, the 7th of Del Mar on the 9th, the 9th of Del Mar on the 9th. And those are 5 races. Some of you may have played these races. A friend of mine who's here today from Las Vegas played them, and before I turn it over to Tom, there is a Tom in one of these races. In 2 of these races, quite pointedly, The method we gave you for finding the place for us is very dominant. How many of you were here the day that we gave you the various formula for finding the place for us? Well, in essence, if you want to write it down somewhere, in your back of the thing, it says for notes, so that when we refer to that day, you'll know what we're talking about. Keeping a place model, just as you do a wind model, will reveal a lot of things to you. The first major concern, of course, in finding the place source is to keep a place model and to see what factors are contributing to place. The first thing to remember is the horse second most likely to win is not the horse most likely to place. There is a very, very definite difference in what contributes to a winner and a place horse, except for 28% of the time. 28% of your place horses were horses that genuinely wanted to win, were genuinely plotted to win by both your figures and by intent, and just failed to win. So those 28 placed. But 72% of your placed horses come from an entirely different region. The first and most important, other than your model, is extremely high APV, the highest in the field, sometimes the second highest, with other characteristics of class, but a mediocre pace line. With such a dominant APV, if we want to justify betting it to place or including it in an exacto or quinoa, we'll go back much farther in our pace line selection on a horse that dominates the APV. I mean, 154, 134, considerable percentage above the average. That is probably the most predominant factor of place that you'll find. And the other side of that coin is when the horse has outstanding pace figures and an APV that is lower than the parameters you would expect for a winner. That's like the Caliente or the Turf Paradise or the Long Acres horse with extremely fast pace times who just has not been running in the kind of company it's running in today from the standpoint of its earnings. And they also place inordinately but seldom win. The third is the counter-energy horse, or the contra-energy horse, the horse whose early sustained pattern is directly in reverse of that which is winning. And the fourth is the horse whose energy pattern is even more dominant in favor of that which is winning now. A horse that is extremely sustained has little else to show for it on a sustained track, even though he may be fifth in his overall rankings, but he comes up with a number one or a strong number two in that early or sustained, which is dominating the win profile. That's another one. The contra energy and the one that is meets the energy requirements, but has little else. And the rest of your place factors are pretty common to all forms of handicapping. Your consensus best bets, the horse that had an outstanding win last time, the horse that virtually all the experts put in black type, that sort of thing, that horse will place 68 to 76% of the time. And if you leave him out because he's a low-priced horse, you may not bet him on to win, but you better have him in there somewhere if you want to win the exacta. We're concentrating on teaching people winning exactas more and more because there's where your big bucks are. And there is where, on days when those mutuals just won't get above 620, as they did for a period at Hollywood Park when they were squabbling with Marge Everett, you had six horse fields. But you still could collect pretty well odds-wise in the exacta. And of course, if you go to Las Vegas, this is manna from heaven over there, as my friend will testify. Just find that place horse, get three horses, and what are you averaging? A quinella, $2 quinella.
Well, we're at 32, although just what you mentioned about Tom, the next day I talked to you, that came up with Donner and Hardy, IATV, passed up city naturally, and the every $2 check was 62 cents, which...
You were averaging 62 cents on your food now?
No, 32.
30.
But that's good.
$32. Well, our average over there is about 28 something now. It used to be 21 with phase three. And when we put the three horses in? When you go to Las Vegas, when you live in Las Vegas, see, he thinks he's in Hollywood. He's just playing Hollywood Park. When I go to Las Vegas, I'd play all five tracks. But if you scout that board in Las Vegas with five tracks to look at and take even one a day, you'll get these $30-$40 quinellas for $6 with great regularity. Our average used to be 57%. It's gone up to 67% in quinellas now since we started looking for the placers. Back when, two years ago, we weren't really looking for the placers. And we were still doing 57% with our top three, but when we started really pinpointing out some of these things that we've just mentioned here, our win place percentage was 67%, and our exact quinella price was $21.80. His is $32, because he's only playing those where he gets big profit. But that's very good. So you can see why you can bet a little and make a lot if you live in Las Vegas or Reno or wherever, so long as you're unostentatious. All right, with that in mind, now you know, because Tom's going to be talking. He's going to do it on phase three, then I'll run through it with you on UltraScan. Dick is handling microphones today, but he'll pitch in too. And we'll go these races one by one, handicapped by you under the supervision of Tom. Don't be bullied. Don't be intimidated by the person who's standing up here. If you've got a case to make, make it. And make it as loud as possible so that the microphone will pick you up for all time.
One question about, you said something about litters and place horses. Totally different. Those are much rather rare places than most of what you're saying.
Right.
What is the principle behind that? Was it statistically shows
that's
a statistical fact. 28% of the horses who place would have been on our figures designated as a win bet, because they were slated by the computer and by our own projections of reality that they had a chance to win. They were the other horse in the win bet, in other words. That's only 28% of the time. 72% of the time, the horses who place have a designated quality that we can pinpoint to place. And I gave you those so that when Tom refers to them, you know what we mean. The counter energy, those of you who have the tandem manual, follow the tandem procedure, will have a whole new ball game for finding place horses. The tandem winner, who you're throwing out for win contention, they'll place quite frequently. Any horse in the tandem within 4.5 lengths is a good bet to place, regardless. Tom will be going into some of those things. The reason I wanted to get them very clear in everyone's mind, when he points out some of the place opportunities presented by this booklet. So if there are no more questions on the basis of what we're going to be doing, we'll turn it over to Tom and get on to the specifics.
I think I can handle it. I'm delivering this posthumously. Place model. And part of my own play is that I virtually always include, even if it's not the counter energy horse, the number one sustained horse in the quinella and into the exacta, in the place hole anyway. And the reason I do that is that, just visualize the typical race in which one of the pace setters puts away the other pace setter, and guess who plods home and picks up the pieces. And it's always a solid play to put that number one sustained pace horse in the second hole at least. Okay. Because we're going to do that a couple of times here on these examples. If you'll open your book to page 2, where it says route model. Now, these races were all run at Del Mar. A couple of them were run when I was on vacation, but the fellow that I handicapped with hit them And so I know that we can all get them in this classroom. And not that he's a bad handicapper, it's just that they're fairly straightforward. One of the things we're going to do is that we will develop this together. I would like all the discussion you can offer. And one of the things is we're trying to learn why we're throwing some of these horses out. We're trying to learn why we select certain pace lines. And if you shortchange yourself by not asking the questions, then it's your own fault, because that's why we're all here. So please, if it occurs to you, ask it, and we'll argue it through. But finally, I get to be the last word, the authority on the subject, if you will. Because these races are all good prices. The average mutual is about $13. And they're all very straightforward. We will not have to convolute any of our logic to get to the winner. When it's finished, you'll look down that road and say, Jesus, that was easy. Now, unfortunately, the road that we're paving has also a lot of detours, and you've got to avoid the detours, and that's what we're trying to do. The route model, if you want to fill it in here, the route model is basically factor W sustained. The racetrack is not extremely sustained, and I'll add to this by saying that if we have a clear pace edge on one of the contenders, in other words, if it's the lone F, if you will, that horse is always tough to beat, because Del Mar doesn't necessarily destroy the speed on the lead like some racetracks will. So if you get a clear pace edge, we'll want to go ahead and consider that horse for the win. But basically, we're looking at factor W and sustain in a route. And in the sprint, it's a fair racetrack, leaning a little towards sustained. Now, I won't give you an exact model like I keep, mainly because everybody handicaps a little differently. And what I keep reflects exactly my own handicapping choices, adjustments, and so on. Now, I'm giving you the basic model, and that's the way we'll play it. So in a route, we'll go average sustained, or factor W sustained, slightly. In the sprint, basically the same?
Probably. They're going to ask this, so I'll put down a wide range. It's a 3x2, okay?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
The best horse has been winning. All right, so the first race we're going to look at then on page 3 is the ninth race on August 13th, $20,000 claiming race. And we have 4, 8, 11 entries. Now, this in group session. Now, one of the things I'm going to offer to you now, and I've kind of come this direction myself. For a long time, I did not use average purse value, APV. And I always thought I knew the horses well enough at my particular racetrack to avoid that. And this thing about the place horse is the kicker for me. And I have, within the last few months, as a matter of fact, begun using APV where I didn't use it before. And it's basically to decide, in my own mind, who that class horse is from back class. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to peek. And the first step in the process is to enter the APVs on all of these horses. And I'll peek back here a little bit and give them to you. And if you'll enter them, that'll be the first step in the process. Thing with Felthorpe Mariner, 90% APV. Son of Raja, 114% APV. New Storm. Now, I split this one. What I did was use the current year and 2 years. The current year is 50%, and looking at 2 years is 71%. Now, you've got to be a little careful with a horse like this, mainly because he hasn't had the opportunity to earn at the 100% level. So before you automatically throw him out, you've got to consider him a little further, because he has not been running on the circuit. I did not compute for the next horse, which is Landseer. Slugfest, 113%. Master Navajo, 163%. Our Nordic, 71%. Realizing here also is a horse that has shipped in from a lesser racetrack. Roosevelt Road, 102%. Cell, 125%. Revolutionary, 138%. And Tom, 176%. And that's a 2-year figure.
Tom, I have a question for you.
figure?
I use the two-year figure on top.
Yeah. Oh, can I ask a question?
You got it.
Are your STPs figured on the current year? How many in the current year before you go to the 2 year?
Well, what I did was I told you which ones were on a 2 year. And that was Tom and New Storm. I computed New Storm. All right. And I'm sorry, I did Roosevelt Road over 2 years also. Now, I did that rather than enter the win into that zero on the win column, which tends to distort it quite a bit when I have that data available to me. All right. Those are the APVs. Now, let's get to the work of selecting contenders. Felthorpe Mariner. Who would keep Felthorpe Mariner as a contender? Let me have a show of hands on some of these things. There's enough people in here, I'm going to have to ask now who would not keep Felthorpe Mariner. Okay, basically it's about 95% would keep Felthorpe Mariner. Anybody that would not keep Felthorpe Mariner, why wouldn't you?
Okay, now, when you say cheap bad class, are you relating to APV?
No, I'm going back 10,000 claim and sell for.
Okay. If you look at the bottom of the page, you'll see that the horse was competing and earning checks at 25 and 20.
Oh, so I won one race in 16 also.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And there's other horses that won much more, higher percentage and higher APV.
There were
a couple of other hands, Bob.
Well, I don't like him because he came back in May of 86 after almost a year layoff. It looked like he raced himself in shape there and won on July 13th, and he beat, and now he's going down.
Bob's point then is that Felthorpe Mariner has peaked, is on the downhill side. The only thing I would offer here is that this horse is definitely going to be part of the pace in this race. And any time you eliminate from your consideration part of the pace, when you get your numbers, when you're finished, they lie to you. And the reason they lie to you is that they show somebody as being an unopposed front runner in your numbers, when in actuality you've thrown out a horse that is a legitimate part of the pace. I would keep it. I kept it. I would keep it under all circumstances. Now, on the other hand, if this were a plotter and would not be part of the pace, then I think the argument can go either way on this horse.
Because he certainly qualifies as a place horse by his two places against One-Eyed Romeo.
If when we're finished doing
this race and we run the numbers and Felthorpe Mariner happens to be an unopposed front runner, you've got to have him in there, especially for your Quinella and your exact. So I would leave him in personally. And again, most of the room said the same thing. A show of hands now on Son of Raja. How many people would keep this horse in? Okay, I only have one. Well, why would you keep it? I have two now. Do I hear three? Why would we keep this one in?
Anybody. Okay, on the 2nd of February, I see what I sensed as a trainer move, preparing him for a very seldom win. And he didn't do anything after that for two or three races, but in the last couple of races, he was virtually no more than four or five lengths off the pace at any given stage, although the races looked bad. It tells me that he's not in bad shape and that he's ready to go for a substitution for him.
Would it concern you
that the horse was beaten six lengths for $16,000 at Los Alamitos? And again, that was a dull race last time out here at Del Mar. Can you make a figure on this horse, just looking at it, can you make a figure on this horse that would make it competitive?
Using a
fairly recent race. The answer to that is no. Okay, and without going back into that race in January. And the minute you do that with a claiming horse, especially in the, because remember now, $20,000 at Bay Meadows is a high-class horse. $20,000 at Santa Anita Hollywood Del Mar is kind of in the middle. And so you're starting to talk about a horse that may not be the same horse he was in January, and he's not. So if you reach back and take that race, he's going to come up very strongly in this race on your numbers. Unfortunately, you've got a horse in January that is not the horse he is today. Any other comments on that horse? Yes.
Any horse with Hector Palma, 2 of 56, how could you throw him out of town?
Okay. Yeah, he doesn't win very often, does he?
Okay, but again, that I don't know how many races he's had at $20,000, but not many. So that wouldn't really keep me from doing it if he had a sharp racer.
But I tell you one thing, Hector's brain is worth his claim.
Oh, I bet he is too.
I don't think he did either. I think it's still he's still got it in his barn. It ran decent the other day. Okay. All right, so we're going to eliminate Son of Raja from contention here.
You can't. Sometimes it's hard to do that just by looking at it. When you put this thing in the machine, you see something that's never noticed before, and especially on a route like that.
Well, if we were to select a pace line on this horse using the last race,
yeah.
All right, he would not be part of the pace. He would not be one of the closers. And any horse that kind of trails around four and 6.5 lengths behind doesn't make much of an impact on a $20,000 race. Okay, and that's about the only line you've got, unless you want to use a Los Al line at 16, and then you'd have to downgrade that for class.
By two horses in this race, and his last effort too.
And he was never part
of that race. Okay, what about New Storm? Anybody want to keep New Storm in here?
I'm sorry, on Exarban?
Yeah, so I'm not positive.
I think it's about three levels below Del Mar, though.
Then you're a yellow manual.
There we
go. Okay.
Anybody want to keep New Storm in here? You do.
What's the class on
that? I'm sorry, on Exarban?
Yeah.
So I'm not positive. I think it's about three levels below Del Mar, though.
Then you're a yellow
manual, whatever.
Okay.
Anybody want to keep New Storm in here? You do. Give me a show of hands on that, because I heard a couple of yeses in addition to that. Okay, why would we keep New Storm in this race?
He's going to be part of the race.
On the pace. Are you sure of this? Okay. Take a look at these fractions
at Exarban, which is not... Yeah, that's right. Now, Exarban is not a dead racetrack. Okay, and so here's a horse that was running... If this horse had been running for $32,000 or $40,000 at Exarban, you might be able to extrapolate one track to the other. But since that horse was running at a lower level at Exarban than he is today, and running slow fractions at that racetrack, it's hard to visualize him as part of the pace. Okay, you might make a mental note that possibly he could be when you get down to evaluating your numbers, but I think you'd make the correct decision by excluding New Storm here.
Exarban is our tracks. It's very close.
And here's a horse that was beaten at, he was beaten at Golden Gate for 10 in June. So there's no reason to think really that he's going to be all that tough at 20 at Del Mar. Yeah. Now if you want to leave him in, two things occur here if you want to leave him in. First of all, he kind of clouds your numbers. The second thing is by the time you penalize him severely for having run at a lower track, racetrack, you're going to knock him out of your numbers in the first place. Everybody buy into that?
That's what I was going to say. By the time you rank him, he's going to suffer so much of a downgrading in the ranking in the pace that you'd exclude him anyhow.
You would. You would. And if you can visualize that before the process of entering these into the computer, that helps you get to five contenders.
Okay, and just in your own mind, visualize how this horse might come up with penalties for having run at Exarban on your readout. And the minute you visualize that, you can exclude him. Because, you know, again, we're trying to get this thing down to four or five horses so that we can choose from live, viable contenders. And this horse just would never enter into my betting.
If you were to include him on your any one of the five on the computer, what numerical value would you put?
0.30 negative.
130?
0.30 off each fraction.
How? How did you arrive at that?
I look in my manual on page 55.
Which manual?
When I wrote. Must be right, because three people have stolen and put in their own men. It's on page 55, the yellow man.
Let me tell you how we will handle that. Let me make sure I've got a race to do like that. Several of these examples, one of the part of this process that we're going to do today will be to take and make the variant for each of these horses, the generic variant that I've drawn on the board in some of these other classes. And we're going to go through the entire process all the way through to choosing the winner of the race, the second place horse, and so on. So we're going to actually make that variant together, pencil and paper, until we're all sure that we can make those numbers. While we're doing that, I'll explain to you how we penalize that horse to knock him down. Okay, now I'm not sure I've got a shipper in any of these examples, but I'll tell you how to do that as we make the variant process. Landseer, would anybody balk at my eliminating that horse? Okay. We won't even discuss that one. Now, how about Slugfest? Now, this is going to be a nice bit of argument here. Please give me a show of hands for the people that want Slugfest as a contender in this race. Okay, now the please give me an indication of who doesn't, because a lot of people aren't raising their hands in any case. All right, most people want this horse as part of the contention in the race. And I'll keep him in there if you'd like. I eliminated the horse. And I got to tell you why I eliminated the horse. Visualize, if you will, the percent early, and that's one of the things I didn't give you back in the first part of the model. I forgot to give that to you. The route, the percent early, the target in a route is about, is I'm going to give you a range here, and it's 51.7 to 52.2. And I can't give you a specific number because the entire meeting, it's been all over the board in there, so I can't target you to a specific number. You've got to stay in a range here. The sprints are even more widespread. The sprints are anywhere from about 51.2 to 52.6. It's a huge difference. So when I say that, when we have a sprinter and we're considering the sprinter, percent energy better not determine your bet at Del Mar, okay, because you have too big a range. You've got to find another way to determine that bet. And that's one of the nice things about what we do within the Sartan methodology. You've got a whole arsenal of tools here.
All right. Still have a parameter of 52.6 high, 51.2 low.
Okay.
Which is better than nothing.
All right, Slugfest, if you consider Slugfest, you'll see that the horse won for 16 at Del Mar last year, then went over to Pomona, which is kind of a specialized situation, and did all right for 25. Now, he's had one race off of his layoff. Now, consider this, and it's easy to do this if you have the PC3 or some other such thing. If you'll run that horse's pace line through your variant program for the last race, just run it through and determine the percent early from that sprint. No, I'll give it to you. What I'm saying is that the tool here is to run that line through your PC3 or whatever and get that percent early. The percent early on that last race was 52.4% in a sprint. Now, what I'm going to tell you is that here is, where'd you go with the route? Here's the route numbers. And before you consider a sprinter stretching out in a legitimate race, in some of the maiden races you'll find that the best horse is going to win regardless of that percent energy. But in most truly run races, if the horse is not sprinting down under, especially under the sprint par, and certainly under the route par, he is not a good play to stretch out. Okay, because he's clearly crying for more conditioning. Now let's consider Slugfest for a minute. 52.4 sprinting was his percent energy. That doesn't even fit the route model. It is too much early. Now, you can keep this horse in if you want, but then consider that if you're trying to get him in these parameters, he is way out of them, and that was sprinting, so then he's really going to have problems getting two turns. So what he's telling you is that he wants more conditioning before he routes. Now, if everybody, go ahead.
Doesn't it bother you that this horse has been close at a route and at 6.5?
Does it bother you?
He's been very close at both distances.
Okay, but again, if I didn't knock him out for this reason of conditioning and this percent early, I would keep him in just because he is a competitive racehorse. But it doesn't bother me to throw him out here because if you look at his routes, they're close to a year ago. So he's only had one sprint since September. Now, if that sprint had been down around 51.4, 51.5, somewhere in there below the route par, you would say that this horse really does want to stretch out because he's rationing his speed and showing you that he wants to run on. But when he's sprinting above the par to start with, you don't really want him routing. Now, if you want to keep him in here, fine. Just don't bet him based on what I've told you. Okay, I threw him out, even though I like Slugfest, and in fact, the day he won by 4 lengths last year at Del Mar, I played him. Now, so he has a soft spot in my heart to start with, but not here. Okay. Will everybody buy that? If anybody's still opposed to that, please holler, because I want to make sure we develop it all together, because this is part of that road we're trying to go down. And if you add somebody like this, you could confuse yourself a bit. Yes?
I'm not opposed. I have just a generic question.
Sure.
At Santa Anita, you have a lot of these. And since Santa Anita is coming up, I just thought I'd throw this question in. When you have a sprinter stretching out at Santa Anita, going from 6.5 to the mile, mile 116, the same logic would apply there.
Absolutely.
It applies all year long in Old Richmond. It's interesting.
Okay. Now, where it will bite you is in some of these maiden races, okay, mainly because the best horse may be wrong energy-wise, but still have enough to win. And one of the, there was a race this week. It was the only day I've been to Del Mar in the whole meeting, unfortunately. I just can't get to Del Mar. But there was a sprinter stretching out that I happened to play, and that was to me, that was the best bet on the card. And that was a horse called Case Money. And because she was in against a horse called Belmoni Bay, who had a nice figure, but the horse had finished second about four times in seven lifetime starts as a maiden. On the other hand, here's a horse called Case Money, who had my second best figure, but had the right energy to stretch out. Did stretch out, but had an extremely high energy figure when it actually did stretch. But it opened up five or six lengths, and no one came after it. And you'll find that generally in a weak open field or in a maiden race, that percent energy will sometimes bite you, in a maiden claiming race specifically. When you get to Santa Anita now, when you start running the three-year-olds in the regular Santa Anita meeting and they're stretching out for the first time, this really does apply, because those are good horses and a lot of them are going to turn into some of your better horses for the year. And it really does apply. You want the horse sprinting below the route par. And that's something good to hold in your mind all year long, okay, except for the exceptions that I gave you. Master Navajo. Anybody want to hold this horse in the as a contender? Okay, a number of hands are up. Can I get the logic from any one of you? There's about five hands.
I'm going to hold him in because of the ATV.
Okay.
Class of the race.
Anybody else?
The car didn't figure, but I would keep him in.
Okay, now let me tell you how I handle this kind of horse and how I handle this one specifically. What I do is, first of all, you'll not be able to find a pace line on this horse without going back to January. And for me, I'm not willing to do that. Especially, and I don't mean to make trainer handicappers out of you, but if you look up the records on Blake Passy, you'll find that you really can't tap out on a horse like this. Okay? What I do, because of that high APV, is that I mark my program as a possible place horse when considering exactness. I could never play this horse to win, ever, in my own play. But I certainly could use it in a quinella, and I could use it on the bottom half of an exacta. Yes?
What I found was that just listening to the tapes that I have that you did at the New Orleans seminar, you can almost look at this horse and you can't get a line that's going to make him good unless you go back to January. I mean, these last two or three lines just won't put it there.
That's right.
You don't have to put it in the computer.
You do not. But because of that APV, and that's one of the reasons I've begun using APV, where I didn't use it for years, and the reason I began using it is because, sure enough, when I miss the place horse, it's always an APV horse. And so I recommend that to you until you're comfortable enough with the process to eliminate it, if you want, from your own handicapping. So let's hold that one in reserve, but not use it as a contender for the win here. So far we have one contender, right? Felthorpe Manor?
That looks better all the time. Boy, I said throw it out
one time, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah, so far it looks great in here.
Right.
He's going to look a little less great in a minute. All right.
And he'll be right up front.
He will be.
Still have to win faster. Okay. He also ran against Revolutionary at the same race.
Who did?
Master
Yeah, and he didn't get within shouting distance, did he? Okay. Let's go to R. Nordic. Oh, I'm sorry, another question.
The 163% APV on Master Navajo, is it just based on the 1,000 first one, maybe? On the 1,000?
I'm sorry, I think that's probably not done it on the 1 year period. Yeah, it probably is 2 years.
Okay. Excuse me, is that very accurate? We had to go back that far. And I noticed one thing, if a horse, say, ran in December, has a lot of earning figure. And say he runs again in January next year, and has no earnings. You can't obviously take that one.
Right.
You have to go back. But in this case, he's got about seven runs.
He's got five runs this year, five races, and he's only earned $1,000. Now, there are two ways you can handle it.
You can put a win in there, okay, but that'll kill that $1,000. And he is obviously better than that number. He is probably not as good as the 163%. So you're between a rock and a hard place here. What do you want to do with it? The other thing you can do is go back and circle the race on December 23rd, which was a $32,000 race, and say that represents some of the class he had last year by itself. No matter how you do it, he still, on that, exceeds the purse value here, the average purse value. Okay. I hate the horse. I don't like the trainer. I don't like anything about it. But nevertheless, you can't completely eliminate that from your quinella.
can eliminate it from your win betting. R. Nordic. A show of hands as to who would keep this horse in. Okay, and since a lot of people, again, aren't raising their hands, can I get a show of hands on the negative side? Who would throw this horse out? Okay, only one person would throw the horse out. Can I have the logic on that, Jim?
Okay. Okay, he does like class, there's no doubt about that. On the other hand, well, we're not using my variance here. And actually, that was a highly rated race. I earned a good figure off that race. But one of my guidelines for keeping contenders is that I accept any horse that's dropping in class. Now, understanding that he has no back class at all, but on the other hand, he is dropping two levels off of a race he only got beat two lengths in. And for my own purposes, I put him in here. Now, so far, most of the people did want him in here. Now, is anybody changing their mind any direction or not? Because I'll eliminate him if you want, because we're going to go through the whole variant process and the rest of it in a minute. And it'll either keep him in or knock him out, however you choose to do it.